Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Now, before putting that on the ladies, I had a quick look back there to Sister Jazz. I gave the thumbs up and she gave me the thumbs up back. So, good for you girls. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12 this afternoon. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. The only new announcement that we have, we don't need to go through the ones from this morning, do we? Nod or shake, something, are we awake or asleep? Are we all in a comatose? You know, too much sugar or something? I did scare Raph and told him I had another seven pointer. He loves my seven pointers. Maureen, the lady that comes to Sister Irene, Maureen Cleary, the sister down the front here, she got word to us via Jack. Her grandson Sid was beaten up last night. So I don't know any of the details, but she's pretty upset when she left here. So please be in prayer for a young man. Well, I'm assuming he's a young man called Sid, was beaten up. Does anybody else have any more information on that? No? Okay, so Maureen's grandson was beaten up. So, and his name is Sid. So please be in prayer for this young man. Let's have a look here in Hebrews 12. After good feet, everybody needs to be exercised. And, you know the idea here, we're going to be looking at chastening, and it does mention the word exercise. You know, it does give you that, you know, need to be exercised. My dad wanted to exercise me a few times. But I'm glad he didn't. I was never disciplined as a child. That's not to say that I was perfect, even though I like to think I am. My mum, I asked her, my brother and I asked her afterwards, why didn't you ever discipline us? And my mum said, well, I sort of feared that once I started, I wouldn't stop. So it doesn't say much for the caliber of child that I might have been. I had my moments. But the downside to that is I had to learn a lot over God's knee because I didn't learn over my father's knee. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about just discipline, being chastened, being corrected, being trained. And so God had to take me through some things where I had to be disciplined. And he had to work in me and produce things in me. And it takes time. It's not something that's that happens quickly. And we do live in a day and age when we want something done fast. But that's not how, that's not God's way. God's way is the process is important. The end result's important, but the process is just as important as the end result. We want the end result. We want the chocolate cake in the mug after a minute in the microwave. You ever seen one of those? Ever had one of those? You can cook a chocolate cake in a mug in a microwave, and I think it's 1 minute. Put all the ingredients in there, stir it up, put it in there, out comes cake. Yeah, the cake's good. It's not like the process when you walk in the house and there's a cake in the oven, and it's been in the oven there for, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and you smell the cake and the aroma fills. So too, when the Lord deals with us and works in us, it's going to be over a period of time. So for a little while here, I'd like us to consider these things here out of Hebrews 12. We'll pray first, and then we'll have a look. Father, we're asking for your help here this afternoon. Lord, the way you work with us and in us and on us, Lord, is something that is in your care that we cannot fathom ourselves, but we know, my Lord, you do it. And Lord, I know you're not abusive. There are some fathers in this world that we'll read here that chastened after their own pleasure. But Lord, you do chasten for our profit. You do train us. You grow us up. You raise us up to take on the character of your Son. And I pray, Lord, these thoughts here this afternoon might be a help to your people now. Lord, we're asking for thy Spirit's grace and strength and help. And help us as we work down through these verses just to see a glimpse of the Father, a loving Heavenly Father that only wants the best for his children. Now help us, my Lord, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted under blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. One of the ways that we learn some things is by going through difficulties and adversity. Sometimes we have to go through that thing where we're facing hardship, where it just seems like we're pressed out of measure, we're stretched, we're pressed, we're pulled apart, we just are exercised and worked on more than ever. And we come to that point where we're just, you know, think, I'm going to break. If nothing gives up here soon, I'm going to break. I can see myself going that way. But sometimes what puzzles us is, why does God treat his children so? Because he's a loving Heavenly Father and we're his children. A child left to himself, Proverbs tells us, brings his mother to shame. We must discipline the times. We must, as time comes on. The worst thing is someone that has not been dealt with. Because judgment is not executed speedily, the setting them to do evil. What is it? The what? We need to be worked on. You think you've gotten away with it? I thought I got away with a lot, but it's just that no, Dad just knew a lot more than I did. He knew how to catch me out. He didn't normally miss a whole lot. When he did, he was just being gracious. But we are God's children. And it says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now remember, He is a Heavenly Father with love. He is a Heavenly Father with grace. He's a Father with mercy. He's not as some of our fathers that abused us. He's a loving Heavenly Father that deals with us just in where we're at. There are three kinds of discipline that people will think upon. The first one that we always seem to go to is corrective discipline. I've done something wrong, so that's why I'm getting this punishment. I've done something. What did I do wrong that God treats me like this? What have I done wrong? How has this happened? What's all that's going on with this? But God is a loving Heavenly Father that He will pull us back into line. He knows when to be gracious and let it slide and give His children time to grow. He understands that they will learn, they will see. At other times, the judgment seems to come quickly, but it's for our profit. It's not that He's trying to be anything other than a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. That when it comes to His children, He wants to work in us, and He wants to shape and mold us to be what we want, to be what we need to be, not always what we want to be. There's corrective discipline. There's also preventative discipline. There are some things that happen to you that will happen to you today that's saving you from something that's coming down the road. Years ago, I wanted to play rep indoor cricket. I was big in indoor cricket. I wanted to make the representative sides. I was on my way. I was getting there. One night I was playing a game and I fell over in the carpet. They just had new carpet, the artificial turf put into the centre. I was playing and I tripped. I tripped the carpet. It was still rough. My shoes got caught in it and I fell over and I fell on my shoulder. My shoulder's never been the same since. I couldn't throw. I look back now at it, God was saving me from going down the road of rep cricket and getting distracted. Down in Sydney, at the church I was at down there, Cornerstone Baptist Church, with Phil Gaddies, Pastor Phil Gaddies, I met one of the guys there, Freddie. Freddie's a big boy, he's a big old boy. He used to play for Penrith Panthers 20 years ago. He was on the wing, played top grade, and he kept having knee injuries. And then he had a really, his best season, I think he said, was 2001, 2002. In the off season, he'd done his knee, he missed a whole year. He never made it back. He left it. We were talking, and we were talking about just the way God deals with us, and he said, now I can look back. And as I look back, now I see what God was doing in my life to work in me, to bring me to a point where He could deal with me. That man, Freddie, our Sunday service down there, they had, was it 12 baptisms? They had 12 baptisms. Now, those 12 baptisms, one was his ex-wife, he's divorced. Him and his wife broke up. God dealt with him about his wife, about himself, everything. He started praying, God, I don't care if we ever get back together, but please save her and get her in a Bible-believing church. That lady is saved. Amen. In a Bible believing church. Exes and I said to the pastor, wouldn't it be great if someday down the road they'd get married again, get everything squared away, and do that. So one was his ex-wife. One was the sister, I think. One was the sister. I think he had a couple of kids, a nephew. 6 out of the 12 that were baptized that Sunday morning were his relatives. His mother was one. It started with one man, that God dealt with one man, and he started praying for the rest of his family. He started being faithful in church, and he just kept on. And God just, one by one, they'd come in. His sister knew better, but she'd bring the kids and sit and drop them off, and he'd come out all smiles. Hey, how you going? Just smiling. And she said, my brother would come out. He'd come out of church and meet me at the street and get the kids. He wouldn't condemn me because I wouldn't come in. He just smiled and loved me. And God just started dealing with her, then she started coming in. And one by one. See, you think something that you go through, why am I going through this? You cannot see what God might do with you in light of the fact of what one person endures. Sometimes what we go through is preventative. It's to stop us. God in his foresight sees, and so there is something that comes up that's going to just work out where we can't do really what we want to do. And we have to say, I was disappointed. I was bitterly disappointed that I wouldn't have been able to do it. But God had something else in mind for me. It was shortly after that that I was married, called to preach. And it wasn't for years later that I realised, I wonder where my life would have ended up if I went the way of rep cricket and I kept doing that. The centre that I played at, the Queensland and Australian coach owned the centre. In the Queensland top grade side, there was 6 of the 8 starters were from that centre. I was in the right place to do something. But the Lord had other ideas. Don't ever think that sometimes life's knocks is a punishment. Sometimes it's preventative. Thirdly, sometimes it's instructive. There is something that we're needing to learn as we go through. What is going on? What is this happening? The sooner we get to the question of, Lord, what do you want me to learn in this? And we slow up and we just learn. Don't try and make something up. But as you go through, just have a look and see, Lord, is there something that I'm needing to see? Lord, if you'd shine the light on it that I might see, I'd appreciate it. But Lord, show me. And we'll go through those things. Because sometimes, you know, count it all joy when ye are in divers temptations. Temptations, not being a temptation to evil, but a trial. When you're going through those trials, sometimes those severe trials, 1 Peter 1. You go through those things, and yeah, you're getting through, and then you're saying, Lord, what is it? What's in this for me? For where I am? So let's work our way down through this passage, verses 3-5. I see God's discipline is to be welcomed. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, for ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The recipients of this letter to the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew Christians, they were going through a real trial, a real time they're going through it. And Paul writes to them and he speaks to them about what you're going through. And we ought not shun it when our Father is wanting to deal with us, when our Father is trying to work something in us. We ought not shun it. We ought to welcome it. It's not pleasant. We don't look forward to it. It's not enjoyable. But I'd rather God deal with me than leave me alone. If you have a choice, what would you rather? Would you rather him deal with you or leave you alone? I think I'd rather him deal with me than leave me alone. How destructive are we to ourselves when we are left to ourselves? We ought to have our Father come in and deal with us. It ought to be welcomed. What Jesus suffered in striving against sin, we have not suffered. There's nothing in this life that we will go through that will compare to the striving that Jesus did against sin and when he gave his life. Notice in verse 5, and ye have forgotten. Oh, how quickly we forget God when we go through trials. But the trials ought to be the case where it gets our attention and it turns us. It's our trials you'll find, not the blessings. You'll find that it's the trials are the things that keep us close to the Lord. Not the blessings, not the bounties, not the benefits, but it's the trials. The things that bring us low, the things where we turn and we look upon him and we ask and we stay close. Those things are the one. And sometimes we have to go through those times. Now, a parent might sit beside the bed of that child. The child's laid up. And parent just sits there. Can find all the time in the world just to sit by that bed as that child goes through something. So to our Heavenly Father, he'll stay by us as we go through what we need to. He's got all the time in the world for us. He won't leave us alone. We ought to welcome those things. No, we're not supposed to be sadistic. We're not supposed to be like that. But it ought to be a case of my Father is working in me. I welcome what my Father is doing. My son despised not the chastening of the Lord. We have to be careful that we don't despise it, that we treat it lightly. Allow it to work in us and allow it to work for us and on our behalf. Allow it to do that. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God loves you. God loves you when you are disciplined. You ever heard someone say, well, God must hate me? They really don't know God, but they just say, well, God must hate me. No, child, he loves you, and he's allowing to work in you different circumstances. He's allowing those things to work in you. We're thinking wrongly of God when we think that God hates us. He disciplines us because he loves us. He takes time to do it right. He takes time because he's got the right goal at the end and he knows just what it's going to take to get to that end. He wants us to have his best. And so at times there's going to come when I'm going to have to allow him to work in me. If I'm to have his best, I have to be in such a way to be able to receive what he has for me that I don't let it go. One commentator said this, whatever the experience, we can be sure that his chastening hand is controlled by his loving heart. He never disciplines out of anger. He never disciplines for his own pleasure. Our Heavenly Father, with a heart of love, will discipline. We want to enjoy the grown-up things, but we can't learn the grown-up things. A little child wants to drive. No, you've got a few more things to go before you can get to drive. All those things. If we want to enjoy the grown-up things, we have to grow up. And the Lord will work things to suit, to help us to grow up. The stature of a perfect man, Ephesians 4. That perfect man, that complete man, that whole man, he'll work in us because that's what he wants, that's what he wants to bring forth. Verses 7 and 8, if ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, then are ye all partakers. Whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Chastening, thirdly, chastening indicates our standing with God. Sometimes we wonder why other Christians are having an easier time of it than you are. We look at ourselves and what we're going through, look at them, see what they're going through. Yep. They land on their feet again. But the Lord's working in us. It shows if he's going to take time to discipline, if he's going to take time to chasten, if he's going to take time to train, it tells you that there is a commitment on his behalf towards you. He's not just leaving you alone. He has a commitment to you that he's going to work in you to bring out the best in you, to bring out the best in me. Please don't overthink things when things happen. The easiest thing that we jump to is we overthink. Well, I suppose there's two extremes. We overthink or we don't think anything. And it's like a void, it's like a vacuum. We're not thinking about anything at all. But know that if he's going to do that, he is on your side. If his son suffered, ought not we also to suffer? Hebrews 5 tells us that the son learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews 5:8, I think it is. He learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. We want to obey the Lord. There's something in us. We want to obey the Lord. And sometimes it's going to take our suffering that we learn obedience, that we learn just how to walk after the Lord the way we ought to. Chastening indicates our standing with God. He corrects his children. He takes time to teach them. He takes time to train them. He takes time to instill and put in them that thing that they need. Sometimes, well, why do I need this? You don't need this right now, but you will need this one day. Learn the lesson while you can. As the Father's teaching you. You ever spent time with somebody you admired, looked up to, you enjoyed being in their company, and they were just talking to you, and you get away, and then you think, I wonder what all that was about. And then you realize a little bit later, oh, that's what it was about. The Lord was giving me a little bit of a preempting there and getting me ready to face this thing that I'm facing right now and gave me some time. That our Father doesn't leave us alone. The worst thing that could happen is that God would leave us alone, but he will continue working. He said, if you are without chastisement, if he doesn't chasten you, if he doesn't discipline, if he doesn't correct, if he doesn't train, then are you bastards. You're a fatherless child. He is not your father. It ought to cause there to be a little bit of rejoicing in your heart, knowing that your heavenly Father Because he is your father, he will work in you and deal with you, with where you are. Some people you look on and you think, God hasn't put a knot on the head. What? If I was God, I'd put a knot on his head. Maybe he's gracious, or secondly, maybe he's not really a child of God. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had the fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their pleasure. They did it because they enjoyed it. But he, our Father, Heavenly Father, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, which are exercised thereby. The discipline of God, thirdly, God's discipline is perfect and profitable. It's perfect and it's profitable. There is gain in it. Earthly parents are imperfect. And being human, they do not always get it right. But our Heavenly Father always gets it right. Our Heavenly Father, when he does discipline us, is said over there in, I'm going to guess Jeremiah, it said that he will correct us in measure. He's not going to go over the top. He's not going to be excessive. On the other extreme, it's just not going to be a little paddywhack. It's going to be the right measure, at the right time, the right way, to bring about the right effect. The discipline of God is perfect and profitable. We submitted to our earthly parents when they disciplined us. We submitted ourselves to them. We listened to them. We followed them. We reverenced them. Would we not much rather do that with our Heavenly Father as he brings things to pass, that we receive them off his hand, knowing that our Heavenly Father is doing it for our profit, is doing it not just for his pleasure, not that he himself gets something out of it. He's got something in mind for us. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be just like him. One of the results is that it brings about righteous living. And after we've gone through some things and we realize, I'm just going to do right. The Lord's shown me how important it is for me to do right. I'm going to do right. G. Campbell Morgan, preacher from about 100 years ago, wrote this: we cry too often to be delivered from the punishment instead of the sin that lies behind it. We are anxious to escape from the things that cause us pain rather than from the things that cause God pain. I thought how true that was. We'd rather get out of what we're experiencing rather than learning, I need to get away from the sin, the behaviour, the thing that grieves God, that causes God pain. And we start thinking, no, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to the Lord. I want him to take pleasure in me. I want my behaviour to be more godlike. And then lastly, God's discipline, lastly, is temporary. There in in verse 11. Now no chastening for the present. Then look what it says. Nevertheless, afterward. It's not permanent. The discipline of the Lord is temporary. It may be happening now, but afterward, there's coming a time when it won't. There's coming a time when we'll see the fruit. And once we've seen the fruit, then we look back and think, look what I went through to do that. I went through some ploughing and I went through some seasons. I went through some things there. But God planted a seed of righteousness. God planted something in me. And now afterward I'm bearing fruit caused, planted in me by what I had to go through back there. Afterward. We look forward to the afterward. Right now, it's not pleasure. Right now, grievous. Right now, no. Lord, let me out of here. Child, you need to stay in the pressure cooker just a little bit longer. And at the right time, I'll bring you through. But if I choose not to bring you through, I will give you the grace for what you are going through. And you can go through what you're going through with grace and a peace in your heart that no one else is going to think, where did he get that from? How did he do that? God's discipline is to be welcomed. God's discipline comes because of his love. God's discipline indicates our relationship with him. God's discipline is perfect and profitable, and God's discipline is temporary. It will not last forever. But our Lord, in his love, does want to work in us. Don't lose heart. It will be in measure, the right way, the right time, the right duration, everything right about it. He won't abuse. Father, we ask that you'd remind us of these things. Oh, how easily, how quickly we forget you. But my Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, would grow us and shape us and give us spiritual eyes to see that what you're doing is for our profit. And may God, we just have the grace needed to go through what we go through, that God, you might be glorified thereby. Now, Lord, for the meeting coming up and the week ahead, we lay before thee, asking for thy will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.